Have you ever woken up and felt like you were attending a funeral you weren't invited to? I don't mean a real funeral. Obviously, those are at least honest. There's a body, some bad coffee, a few crying relatives. You know why you're there. I'm actually talking about that feeling, that weird, quiet awareness that everything you've ever loved will die. Your parents, your dog, your neighbor's dog, that restaurant you went to on your third date, your body, your favorite pair of pants, eventually even your sense of humor. But if you're lucky, you go out with it still intact. Unfortunately, however, most of us die long before we stop breathing. And the thing is, that's the good news. Now wait, this isn't one of those death gives life meaning inspirational TED Talks where some guy with perfect teeth tells you to journal your gratitude while sipping highbrow tea in a yurt. I'm not here to peddle fake hope. I'm here to try to give you something much better. Perspective. And by perspective, I mean that rusty, heavy, uncomfortable gift that you didn't really ask for, but you kind of need in order to stop screaming into the void every time Instagram shows you a targeted ad for emotional fulfillment. Because this is reality. Yes, everyone and everything you've ever loved will die. And that sucks. I get it. But also, thank God, or the universe, or whatever. Because can you imagine the nightmare of nothing ever ending? Having to maintain every relationship, every job, every version of yourself forever. Yeah, no thanks. Immortality, it sounds wonderful until you realize it's just an infinite group chat you can't leave. So here's the thought. Maybe the real problem isn't death. It's denial. I don't think we actually fear death itself. I think what we fear is knowing it's real while still having to navigate the mundane details of life, like responding to emails or doing taxes. It seems to me that we've built this whole society on pretending that permanence actually exists, that careers last, or that love is a contract, like your face is gonna stay the same even after 40. And we take selfies as if the internet will save us from decay, or we get married like it's a guarantee, even though 50% of marriages end in divorce. Then we upload our memories into cloud servers where, like we're gonna outsmart entropy with two-factor authentication. It's all denial. Really expensive, credit card destroying denial steeped in anxiety. And underneath it all, most of us are low-key panicking. Because on some level, you already know what I'm saying is true. You just don't want to hear it from some melancholic on YouTube with a camera and too many books. However, I don't necessarily see death as a tragedy. I think the real tragedy is that we've turned life into something like a waiting room for something else. You know, something that we think is more grandiose and more meaningful, less disappointing. And we keep postponing our peace for things, for when things will supposedly be better. But better never really arrives. It just dies like everything else. So yeah, we're gonna lose it all. Every single thing, and that should make us want to live more fully, not hide better. Okay, so this kind of reminds me of this quote from Charles Bukowski. He wrote, "We're all going to die, all of us. What a circus. That alone should make us love each other, but it doesn't. We're terrorized and flattened by trivialities. We are eaten up by nothing." Okay, let me tell you a little story. I used to own this ugly chipped ashtray. Found it at a garage sale back when I still smoked and thought irony was a personality. It had a cartoon duck on it and the word quack in Comic Sans. Now, for some reason, I loved it, that thing. I don't know why. It wasn't beautiful, but it was mine. A relic of some idiosyncratic, unrepeatable version of me. And then one day it fell off the windowsill and shattered, and I stood there like some grieving widower in a discount robe, staring at ceramic duck parts all over the floor. It was stupid and trivial, I know, but also, it wasn't. Because for me, it served as a small reminder that nothing is guaranteed to stick around just because you like it a lot. And that's why it mattered. That's why it kind of hurt. That's why it was real. I think we live in a culture that tries to turn love into a receipt and death into a glitch. But we're not here to try to outwit the ending. I think we're really here to feel it, all of it, no matter what it is. There's a quote by Rainer Maria Rilke that I've always liked. "Let everything happened to you, beauty and terror. Just keep going. No feeling is final." Now, what I think Rilke is saying here is that life is going to kick you in the teeth, kiss you on the forehead, and then light your house on fire, sometimes all in the same week. But, you know, try not to panic. Let's break this down. Let everything happen to you. It's poetic, but it's also a dare. It means don't spend your whole life bubble wrapping your feelings. Don't hide from grief or heartbreak or that gnawing anxiety that your life is maybe a cautionary tale. Also, don't cling to the good stuff like it's a hostage, because the good stuff leaves too, as we all know. I think the universe, it's like a bad landlord. It eventually takes everything back. Okay. Just keep going. That's Rilke's way of saying walk through the fire, through the boredom, the awkward Tuesday afternoons where your soul feels like an old motel carpet or something. Just keep going because standing still doesn't really stop the storm. It just lets it drown you a little slower. And no feeling is final. That's the punchline here. Your misery, temporary. Your joy, also temporary. The point isn't to hold on to any of it. It's to realize that life is a constant, absurd parade of experiences, and your job is to just keep walking no matter what. Preferably without pretending you're above it all, and without pretending you're supposed to enjoy every minute of it, of course. So, in other words, Rilke's giving you permission to stop trying to control life like it's a playlist. Just let it all play. Skip nothing. Because even the shitty songs eventually end, right? Right, moving on. Let's be real here. Nobody actually wants to die. Well, almost nobody. But also, nobody tells you, or nobody really wants to live forever, right? I think what we really want is not to lose anything that we love. We want to hit pause on the good parts. And fast forward through the bad ones, like life is some DVD we forgot to return to Blockbuster in 2003. But all this clinging and this desperate emotional hoarding that we do, I think these are unhealthy attachments that are making us miserable. So, the Stoics had this word, premeditatio malorum, or the premeditation of evils. So what it is, it's a Stoic exercise in imagining what might go wrong before it actually happens. Now, at first glance, it sounds bleak. Like pessimism dressed in a toga or something. But the purpose isn't to wallow in worst-case scenarios. By rehearsing possible misfortunes in the mind, the Stoics believed you could strip them of their power, toughen your nerves, and meet real hardship with a steadier hand when it inevitably arrives. One of the great Stoics of old, Seneca, once wrote, "Let us prepare our minds as if we come to the very end of life. Let us postpone nothing. Let us balance life's books every day." So, in simple terms, live like you might not wake up tomorrow, because as you know, one day you won't. Now, I realize that some of these quotes might sound almost like platitudes. Nonetheless, I think they're just as relevant and powerful as ever. Memento mori. Remember, you must die. So, Heidegger, who, during his time, was basically the goth kid of philosophy. He talked about this concept being toward death, that our authenticity only shows up when we finally stop pretending we're immortal. We spend way too much time doing inauthentic living, the usual jobs we hate, maintaining identities we outgrew a decade ago, staying in relationships that feel like we're slowly being digested. But the moment we truly accept our mortality, boom, everything gets clear. We stop chasing and we start choosing. Okay, Alan Watts, bless his calm, mischievous, cosmic British soul. He once said, "To resist change, to resist change, to try to cling to life is like holding your breath. If you persist, you kill yourself." And that's it. That's life. Let go or suffocate. Breathe out, let it pass through. Because the moment we start clinging, we start drowning. So there's an old Zen proverb. It goes like this: let go or be dragged. And most people don't realize you're not supposed to hold on. You're supposed to fall, ideally with grace and style. All right. So Epicurus, he had the audacity to say that death isn't even worth fearing, because when death is here, you are not. And when you're here, death isn't. So to him, death was a non-issue, because according to his philosophy, we never actually experience death, but we do experience the fear of it. Which, let's face it, when you think about it, it's like being scared of a party we're not even invited to. I think most of us would admit it's not the being dead that worries us, it's the dying part. Now, look, when we talk about death, we're not just talking about corpses and tombstones. We're talking about change, loss, the small deaths, like identity deaths. The death of who you thought you were going to be. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross mapped out the five stages of grief: denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and finally, acceptance. But the part they don't put on the Instagram grief quote post is that most of us get stuck in the bargaining stage, where we desperately try to negotiate with reality. "I'll be good if you just let me keep this. I'd be eternally grateful if I don't lose that." And so forth. But unfortunately, reality doesn't cut deals. It just takes. And I think sometimes that's actually a mercy, because grief isn't really a glitch in the system. It is the system. Okay. Ernest Becker, who wrote one of the most intense books I've ever read, The Denial of Death, made a fairly brutal point when he said, "The irony of man's condition is that the deepest need is to be free of the anxiety of death and annihilation. Yet it is life itself that awakens it." So what this means is that at some point in our history, humans became self-aware enough to realize that they're going to die, and then immediately invented religion, capitalism, narcissism, every other ism, legacy projects, Botox, and everything else you can imagine to try and forget it again. We chase purpose not because we're noble, but because we're scared shitless. We don't build monuments because we're proud. We build them because we're terrified of being forgotten. And it's amazing how quickly we're forgotten after we die. So now what? Sit in the dirt and cry? No. Well, okay, maybe for a minute. That part's healthy. But I think this is where it starts to get good, because once we actually accept that the impermanence of everything, once we accept the impermanence, we stop wasting time trying to keep things permanent. And that is liberating. So we stop hoarding people, moments, identities, clothes we haven't worn since high school, etc. We stop pretending we're going to live 1,000 lives, and then we start actually living this one. I think we finally start saying no without guilt, and yes, without needing a guarantee. We stop waiting for the perfect moment and start dancing in the burning building like the nihilistic little gremlin we were born to be. All right. So I think the Zen folks had it figured out when they said, "Before enlightenment, chop wood, carry water. After enlightenment, chop wood, carry water." And it doesn't get any more glamorous. You don't get a crown, you just get a broom. And then you sweep the same floor, knowing that one day you won't. But I think that's the beauty of it. When we stop needing life to be or to mean something, it becomes real. And when we stop demanding permanence, maybe we can finally enjoy what's right in front of us before it turns to smoke. Okay, so what do we do with all this? That is now the question. What do we do with the knowledge that everything ends, everyone leaves, every beautiful thing will eventually either burn, decay, or become a sad Facebook memory no one wants to look at anymore? I think we live anyway. We love and build anyway. And I know it sounds so much easier said than done, and it's really not that simple. Trust me, I know. But I don't think we do any of this because it lasts We do it because it doesn't. So there was a time in my life when I used to think the point of life was to find something that couldn't be taken from me. Whether it was a person or a relationship, a belief system, maybe a purpose. Something I could cling to when everything else got inexplicably weird or meaningless. Or someone I loved got terminal cancer and all the stupid motivational posters stopped working. Not that they ever did. But the older I get, the more I realize that maybe the point isn't to find something eternal. It's just to keep showing up for the temporary, with your eyes and your heart open and your hands not clenched into fists all the time. You know, maybe the point is to look the void in the face and say, okay, I see you. You win. But while I'm here, while I still get to eat a peach or feel a lover's hand on the back of my neck, I'm going to feel the hell out of this in the present moment, even if it breaks me. Because it will break you. And that's just the human ordeal, the human condition. Everything you love will break your heart eventually, or you'll break someone else's. And that's just the price of admission for being an authentic human being. Now, that being said, here's the secret that no one told you back in school. You can survive a broken heart, but you just can't survive a numb one. I think numbness is the death that comes before death. It's what happens when you decide that feeling is just too risky and that caring is too dangerous, connection is too painful and just not worth it. But I think that's how you lose the whole damn plot. Because you don't protect yourself from pain. You just end up lonely in a fortress of emotional concrete, wondering why your skin feels like plastic. So let yourself be torn. Let your heart shatter. Let people matter, as difficult as this may be. And let places haunt you. Feel it. Let yourself fall in love with stupid, ordinary things like the smell of your grandmother's house or the sound of someone laughing at your terrible jokes or the way certain songs destroy you in exactly the right way. I think you get the idea. Let yourself mourn the things that don't even make sense to mourn. Like the city you never moved to, or the version of yourself you never became. Let yourself mourn the dog you didn't pet that one day because you were in a rush. Grieve all of it and then just keep going, like Rilke said. Because none of it was ever going to last anyway. And in that moment, that's what makes it yours. Okay, here comes the part where I try not to sound like I'm offering advice, but maybe just pointing at things I've noticed while limping through life barefoot and slightly drunk on cosmic dread. In any case, here's what helps me sometimes. One, get rid of the illusion of control. Stop thinking you can outplan loss. You can't. Try to make peace with being the passenger in this life. Maybe even lean your head out the window and enjoy the chaos sometimes. Just keep an eye out for those mailboxes. Number two, practice what I would call micro grieving. Don't wait for a funeral to grieve. Let yourself feel the ache of throwing away an old t-shirt that you loved, or watching your kid grow out of some phase, or realizing someone doesn't love you anymore. It doesn't always have to be something colossal and melodramatic. Just something honest. Number three, make peace with the ending now, not only later on. I think we should try to live like we've already said goodbye to everyone we love, and now we get one last weird, hopefully miraculous day with them. That changes things. That changes perspective. Number four, create anyway. Write, paint, build, draw, sing, whatever it is. Don't do it to be remembered. Do it because it feels like you're leaving fingerprints on the inside of the cave before the torch goes out. Okay, number five, don't be too cool to care. I think cynicism is like armor. You should maybe try to drop it sometimes and allow yourself to be a little vulnerable. Let people know you love them before they become someone you used to know. Go ahead and cry at movies. Hug somebody too long. You know, be a fucking human in all your beautifully dysfunctional glory. And finally, just try to remember that the absurd can be beautiful. As my old friend Albert Camus once said, there is no sun without shadow, and it is essential to know the night. So we don't have to love the idea of death, of course, but I think we can learn to respect it. And to let it make us kinder and funnier, a little braver, and maybe less full of shit. Now, I leave you with one more thing to consider. With the immortal words of the poet Dylan Thomas. Do not go gentle into that good night. Rage, rage against the dying of the light. Thanks for watching.